Good morning and welcome to our morning show today on WRCO Radio. We're here to talk about the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair, celebrating another year. And joining us in the studio, Diane Barenbrook. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us and allowing us to promote the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair.
It's this very weekend.
It is. Ready or not, here it comes.
I hear the weather
is going to be hot.
Sunday is going to be the hottest, I think. Saturday should be just about prime time for
you. Awesome.
We'll keep reading a better forecast for you if we can.
As long as it doesn't rain or storm.
But we had to pry away from all the activities. And, you know, you and I were talking before we went on. It doesn't just start like today. I mean, you've been planning and then, you know, getting the streets marked and everything for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the planning starts. We'll take the month of July off and we start planning for the next year in August. And then once it gets closer to the fair, like you said, you know, last week I was out marking streets every morning, and tomorrow morning we'll put booth stickers down on the streets, and lots of prep work that goes on prior to the actual fair weekend.
How many booth stickers will you have to put out tomorrow?
Well, so we have 170-ish artists, and so some of them get triple booths or double booths. So, and we do each side of the street. I think we go up to 115-ish on each side of the street. So over 200 stickers will be put down tomorrow morning.
You've incorporated some of your family members to help you with that, right?
I'm so fortunate that I have nieces and nephews that have been willing to help for many years. So, yep, I'll have a niece and her friend will come down from Mount Horeb tomorrow morning and help. And I have some nephews, and that same niece will be host during the weekend. So another nephew who has helped in the past and checked in to volunteer to see if we needed help. So they've been great.
Takes a lot of folks to put this on, doesn't it?
It definitely takes a village.
It's very important for Spring Green, though, isn't it? It's one of your big events.
Absolutely. That's, you know, ultimately why the fair started back in 1969, when a group of women they were playing cards and they were talking about how can we promote Spring Green. And so they started this art fair, and it brings thousands of people to our community. I believe everyone from the motels to the gas station to the local restaurants and shops benefit from having that many visitors to our community, whether they go into those establishments on the weekend that they're here or see them and then choose to come back another time.
Any idea what Spring Green's population is on Saturday and Sunday?
Oh, we've tried so many times to kind of figure out. There's so many different entry points to the fair itself that you can't really do an accurate count. Many years ago, I believe one of the chiefs of police, back when the post house Dutch kitchen was still there, he was up on their big balcony and was trying to count in a block area or take some photos. And I mean, I'm sure it's 10,000 or more. It's a lot of people come.
Yeah, that's just hard to fathom that. But then you see pictures, like I've seen like some drone footage too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would believe those numbers.
The streets are full.
Yeah, they really are.
And parking's at a premium.
And so let's talk about some of the artists and vendors. I'm sure you have some that come from quite a ways away, don't you?
Yeah, we have artists that come from throughout the United States, from Florida, from Colorado, from many here in the Midwest. We love when we have local artists that we can support and they can show their artwork in the fair locally. That's always fun to have some local folks in. But the artists come from all throughout the United States.
Some of them have been coming back for a number of years, haven't they?
There are many artists that have been in for many years. Just because you're in one year doesn't necessarily mean you're in the next year or you're in forever. We're a juried fair, so the jury group meets usually the end of February and reviews the artists, submit slides and their application, and then those are reviewed. And so it's a different group of jurors each year who select the artists for our fair. So just because you're in once doesn't mean you're in again, but many, many artists have been in this fair multiple times.
That's a fair and honest way to do it, though, to, you know, kind of go through it every year and, you know, and invite people back. You know, as you mentioned, it's kind of a lottery system, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I see a lottery as being like ooh, I'll pick your name and maybe you'll get in. Where, you know, people, there's a lot of time invested in the jury process of reviewing their slides and reviewing applications. So, I mean, the jurors are artists themselves or people who have some sort of relation to art. So they have some expertise, and it's interesting to sit back when they're doing this and just listen to their conversation and kind of watch how they talk and transpire, how this particular artwork might be better for the fair than, you know, another piece of artwork. It's an interesting process.
I see. Do you get requests from some of the people, some of the patrons of the fair saying, we would really like to see this or this for another year?
We have artists and art fair attendees that might stop by the registration table during the fair and say, oh, has this person ever been in, or how can I be in, you know, and we explain how to go online and get the application. As far as like specific have this type of artwork or things, I can't recall that we've had, you know, any real specific requests. People might suggest names of people and things that they've seen in other places. And we ourselves go to many art fairs and we'll pick up cards or talk to somebody at a fair and say, hey, would you ever consider applying to the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair?
When people show up on Saturday or Sunday, you'll have a flyer then, I understand?
Yeah, people can stop by the registration table that's by the BMO Bank, our kind of art fair registration area. We have a little brochure that has a map of the whole art fair. It lists the artists by their booth number. So if you're looking for someone in particular, it lists the different food groups, their locations, and what's on their menu, and just some little tidbits about the fair itself. The artists will each have some of those brochures if they choose to take some, and we'll also have them at the registration area, and local businesses have them also.
So there's entertainment as well. Can you talk about that?
There is. We have entertainment the entire weekend of the fair. We start on Saturday morning with our trumpet fanfare by Michelle Mack. And then in the Post House Garden, we from 10 until 1, our featured performer will be Sarah Day. And she is a Wisconsin-based singer and songwriter who performs music with eclectic roots in rock, folk, country, and pop. Then from 1:30 until 4:30, Don Greenwood, a local musician from Spring Green who's been singing and writing songs for over 50 years, will be performing. He writes original tunes in rural blues and folk traditions. He plays all throughout the Spring Green and Midwest area. On Sunday, our trumpet fanfare will open the fair and be performed by Nancy Maxwell and Julie Cousy. And then from 10 until 12 in the Post House Garden, we have a new group, the SAX Quartet. Sax Quartet. I'm not exactly sure how they go. I just know how it looks when it's written. But they're a relatively new group that is based in Madison, and they perform all genres of music from chamber music, jazz, film and videos, game scores, modern music. So that'll be exciting to have somebody new. Sarah Day is also new to our fair, but so to have those new performers. And then from 12:30 until 3:30 on Sunday, we have the Junkyard Kings. They're a high energy, a fun duo with years of experience performing. They play a variety of modern and classic country, as well as some pop and rock, and they perform a lot in southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois.
Music just really adds to the whole atmosphere, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, people can take a break and sit there in the garden and get the shed. We'll be providing food things there too as well, and just take a break. You do have to have the right kind of music. You know, in the past, it's like, that's too loud, that's too this, you know, especially the artists that might be sitting in close proximity to that area, they can't hear their customers. And so we do have to be very intentional about the types of music and performers that we choose, just because it has to be kind of the background music, not the takeover music. It's not a concert. It's just something to have in the background.
Indeed. Are there things for kids to do?
Yes, this year the Spring Green Community Library will be hosting a free children's area. The library staff invites children to stop by the youth tent, which will be near the registration area on Worcester Street, near the BMO Bank, sort of between the bank and the library. They will, on Saturday, they will be in operation from 10 until 2, and Sunday from 10 until 12. There'll be ongoing crafts throughout the day, so we invite all kids of all ages to stop by and do a craft.
They won't get bored.
I don't think so.
Yeah, going to keep them busy there.
We're going to try.
Well, mom and dad are searching the streets for bargains and, you know, collectors and things like that.
Yes.
So things of, you know, obviously art, but there's some that might even have a collector value, like antique value too, right? Because some of the stuff that comes back, you know, maybe not be made recently. Is that correct? Or how does that go?
As far as having antiques in the fair, it's all original artwork, and I don't know that any of it would be considered an antique, but definitely something to be treasured and very memorable.
Sure. Something that they might have brought back, though, you know, like maybe they bought a long time ago or they sold a long time ago and brought it back. I've heard stories about that, too, some things that maybe have maybe more of a legacy feel mm-hmm. to them.
So, you know, folks that have been artists for a long time, their styles change. And sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, even when you're juring, it's like, that's that person. Like if you put a name to it, it's like, wow, they've changed. And then sometimes their style will come back to something they had done earlier in their art history years or whatever. So yeah, everybody has a different style, and many folks who attend the fair, you know, might look for a particular artist who's been there repeatedly, or they bought something. It's like, oh, then they'll come to the registration table. I got this, you know, piece from an artist here 15 years ago, and are they still around? And so, you know, we can try to look up for them and see if they're here and if they're doing the same kinds of artwork. But lots of times artists kind of change their style as they go through the years.
Sure. How many blocks does it cover then and entail? Because it's pretty much the entire downtown.
It is pretty much from the downtown, the whole downtown. We're on the main street, which is Jefferson, and we start at on the east end at Winstead Street, and we'll go all the way down west as far as Cincinnati Street this year. So last year we went into the next block beyond Cincinnati, but this year we're ending it at Cincinnati, and we have about 170 artists.
As far as some of the food, any word on that or what will be served this year?
Yes. Our food chairperson, Pam Legal, has worked tirelessly this year to get all the intersections to have a food booth. It's really hard. Just overall, volunteerism, I think, is decreasing in communities throughout our world. And so in order for these food groups to operate, they need a lot of volunteers to make it through the weekend. So asking many, many groups, you know, oh no, we can't get anybody to work. We'd like to, but we can't get anybody to do it. But we have 8 different food groups. Our Spring Green Lions Club, who's been part of the fair, I think, since the beginning, will have their brats, hamburgers, and hot dogs, along with chips, waters, and sodas. The River Valley Music Boosters have been with us for a number of years with their cream puffs, bubbler, and water. Another group that's been with us for a while is the River Valley Girls Swim Team, the high school swim team. They provide walking tacos and a baked potato bar with Gatorade, sodas, and waters. The River Valley Area Community Gardens will have ice cream cones and ice cream dishes. PAC 3038 will be there with their traditional lemonade, strawberry lemonade, iced tea, Arnold Palmer's, and iced coffee and bottled water. And then we have 3 new groups this year that are joining us. The Spring Green Community Food Pantry will be providing pulled pork sandwiches, chips, soda, snow cones, shaved ice, and water. The River Valley FFA will be serving grilled cheese sandwiches and beverages. I think they're having cheddar cheese, Swiss cheese, or There were three cheeses I saw on their form. I don't remember what the, maybe Pepper Jack was the last one for different types of grilled cheese sandwiches. And the Clyde Go-Getters 4-H Club will be serving popcorn, bubblers, Gatorades, and water. So we should have something to at least provide everybody some sort of a snack or a meal while they're here looking at artwork.
It's wonderful because, I mean, it means a lot to the Spring Green community, but you talk about those organizations and those groups, it's a big thing for them, too, and some of their fundraising efforts, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be a huge fundraising opportunity for these groups. In previous years, there is a formula that the fair had where part of their monies came back to the fair committee, but this year, for the first time, we're allowing them to keep all of their money. Anything that they make, they keep all of their profits, and none of it needs to be returned back to the fair committee.
Well, that's going to be a big thing for them and their group.
We sure hope so. Yeah. We really hope so. And, you know, it's all very weather dependent. And when my parents had the grocery store, my dad and brothers kept meticulous details of, you know, what the food booths sold. And they had weather, you know, if it's cooler, people tend to eat more. When it's really hot, they don't stop and eat. And so the weather apparently has a big factor on how we take in foodstuffs when we're out and about at the art fair. So the weather sounds good. So hopefully people will stop by these food booths and help their causes.
We won't have to have hot chocolate, it doesn't sound like, especially Sunday.
Does not sound like that to me, no.
Well, Diane, you are co-president of the organization. I know it takes a lot of people to put it on, and you've got a group that has been doing it for a long time, and I know you lost a member recently as well.
We did. As we prepare and go forward through this weekend, we want to remember longtime committee person and former chairperson in the fair, Kathleen McDonald, who passed away suddenly in May, and her humor and her wit and just her commitment to the art fair is something that we cherish and treasure. And so, you know, kind of she was in charge of registration for many years, so people are jumping in and helping to cover everything that needs to be covered for registration this weekend. And so another person had two other members of our community, we're kind of an aging committee, have had some health issues recently in May, so others of us have just had to kind of step in and take on some extra duties. And anyone's interested in helping, we're always willing to take extra volunteers. This weekend, if you have nothing to do, like on Friday afternoon at 5-ish or something, you know, meet us in front of the bank. We'll be loading and unloading things. Same way, Sunday afternoon at 5-ish, everything that was set up has to get taken down. If you have some extra muscles and time, come on down. We'll take your help. Or, you know, if you want to host, if you're there and want, we have come up to the registration area, see if we need anything. And we can usually put people to work. And
you wouldn't turn it down.
No. And if you'd like to be part of our committee, that would be great. Contact myself, or we usually meet the first Monday of the month, August through June. And we have quick little meetings. We've been doing this so long, it's kind of a well-oiled machine, but there are always things that you need to attend to. So we would love to have new people and new ideas. That would be great.
And you are co-president. Who do you share the presidency with?
Michelle Orkut and okay. I are the co-presidents, and other members of the committee. I hate to start naming names. I might forget them. Cindy Rasmussen, Linda Kettner, Pam Legal, Patty Yentz, my mom Mary Lou Barenbrook, John Hess, Gwen Schwanke, Linda Griffiths Schwanke. Oh gosh, if I forget somebody, I'll be terrible. Brian Gorman helps us obtain announcers for the weekend. There's just lots of little bits of, you know, people that help out. And I apologize if I forgot anyone. I didn't have those names written down.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
to put
and
this
we,
on.
You know, we appreciate our village workers and the police department. They have to do a lot of extra for this weekend as well. And working together with them is a pretty seamless process, because we have been doing this for a while. I know I should also mention there's a lot of garbage during the weekend. And so the River Valley volleyball team and parents, we give them a nice monetary donation for their club or their team, and they take care of picking up the garbage throughout the weekend, and we have a dumpster that then they take it to. They do it multiple times a day to make sure that all the different, you know, garbage receptacles are emptied and the fair's a clean space. So we really appreciate their volunteering with us. And we, you know, there are things that happen that you don't think about, and you really need all these pieces to work together.
Your Spring Green business community, too, they have to cooperate, too, because, you know, they're stores and places where people can't get to as well then.
You're right. So for, you know, Saturday and Sunday, access to the downtown is limited. You'll see people parked clear out to the high school, my mom and dad's neighborhood, all the way down by Cardinal Glass. Like, the community is filled with people, and so if you want to go shopping at the grocery store or you need to get to something down on, you know, the hardware store, it is a little bit tricky. Those places still have lots of people in them, but it might not be your regular customers who typically shop on Saturday or something, just because it's harder to get to them. So we hope that they can take care of their business, you know, today, tomorrow, next week. It can be an inconvenience. Not everybody loves an art fair, but it's for 2 days, and so we hope that we appreciate everyone working together with us to make it happen.
And as far as the funds that you raise, how do you raise your funds then? Is that from the booth space?
Yep. So artists pay a jury fee and a booth fee, and that's basically how the art fair committee gets our funds in order to go on with the next fair. We have a huge publicity budget. You know, there's a lot of expense to a fair, but then we also are able to provide scholarships to high school students who are pursuing their education in an arts-related field, and we also do a grant program. Usually in September, local organizations with arts-related needs can apply for a grant, and we try to honor as many of those grants as we're able to based on the monies that we have available. We should probably also mention that artists are judged during the fair, and we have two judges, Casey Maxwell and Caitlin Heinz, who are both art educators and have experience with many different types of media. We've changed our judging. This is the second year where we're offering awards of excellence. And the awards are not category specific as they had been in the past. Like previous to last year, it was like you'd have two winners in the jewelry category and two winners in the pottery. In each category, there would be the winners. Now we just select 8 awards of excellence. And that came about through conversations with many artists. They actually initiated this and wanted us to consider doing it, telling us the way we were doing it is kind of old and antiquated and maybe consider this new way. So last year we did it for the first time, and it was well received. The winners are based on criteria, their display and booth presentation, creativity and originality of their artwork, technical merit and quality, and just overall artistic impression. And along with a ribbon, those 8 artists that receive an award of excellence will also be presented a $500 monetary prize. And then they're also invited artists for the following year's fair. They still have to apply, but they don't have to be juried in. They're automatically in. And then we also added I'm not exactly sure, we're calling them invited artists, but members of the Arts and Crafts Fair Committee can select up to 10 artists who we're inviting. These are non-judged invitations, but they're selected by committee members, and we're inviting them to be part of the fair for the next year. So they still have to apply, but they don't have to be juried in because they've been invited in. So that's something we're trying again this year for the, you know, we tried it last year and it seemed to work, so we're going to do it again this year.
Yeah, full speed ahead. And you have people that are hosts. What does it mean when you're a host?
Well, hosts are those people who we have a vest or a sash, and it will say host on them. And any fairgoer or artist who has a question, they just need to, you know, approach one of the artists and who are wandering through the fair and, you know, ask their question, and the host will do the best they can to help them. Hosts are also available to booth sit for artists, or like if the artist needs to use the restroom or wants to go get some food or go look at some artwork, they can sit in their booth and booth sit for 10 or 15 minutes. And or they can, you know, if the artist might say, can you go down to the lion stand and get me a brat? You know, they'll do things like that. But they handle a lot of questions, you know, where are the bathrooms? Where's the ATM machine? Where should I go to eat? Things like that. Just local types of questions. So we have hosts available both days of the fair during the duration of the fair. So if anyone's there and they have questions, just approach a host. They're wearing a bright green sash that says host.
That brings up an interesting point as well, as far as paying for your items. Cash is obviously accepted, but Venmo, do they have card? Can you take cards, or how does that work then, Diane?
Yeah, this is a tricky situation. We're down in that valley, so cash would be excellent. Using credit cards for the most part should work. But when the Wi-Fi system gets overwhelmed with that many people in our community, there have been issues in the past. And depending on the carrier that different artists have, might not get great reception in our area. So that's often been a sort of a sticking point. We've worked so hard to make this work. And we just cross our fingers and hope that it works for everyone. There are no guarantees. So, you know, bring cash if you can. Cards should work, but there are no guarantees.
If someone is coming from to the show, do you have advice on good parking spots and things like that? Or is that kind of the million-dollar question?
That probably is a million-dollar question. But I'm someone who goes to art fairs in many communities. And, you know, you often have to park and walk a few blocks before you get to the actual venue itself. But there are designated handicap parking spots at the west end of the fair from Wood Street all the way up to Cincinnati. That will be all handicap. In the public parking lot behind Baron Brooks, sort of on the side of Baron Brooks Bar, there's handicap parking on Worcester Street near the registration area. There's handicap parking there. So there's some handicap parking in different areas. And then otherwise, just park wherever there is not a no parking sign. Don't block, you know, people's residential driveways and things like that. Be smart about where you're parking. There are, you know, you could go park in the school parking lot. It's a few blocks walk, but that's wide open. But any of the neighborhoods, anywhere in town where you can find a spot where it's not marked, no parking, it's up for grabs, I guess.
Nice and flat, so you're not
walking. It is a very flat community.
Up or down hills.
Yep, no hills.
And as far as admission, it's just...
it's free.
Everything's free.
Yeah, they're free. You can come and see beautiful artwork, listen to some great entertainment, people watch. You could go and spend the day and not spend a penny, but we would encourage you to buy some artwork and have some food and snack items from the different food vendors and stop at our local establishments. That would be great as well.
Anybody around on the committee that helps out that was there at the beginning, 1969?
I think my mom right now she didn't get involved until the second year. She had a baby that first year in June. So, happy birthday, Brad, tomorrow. But anyhow, she's been involved since the second year. So I think right now she's the longest person who's been involved on the committee.
Good. Well, hello to Mary Lou. We had her on many, many years promoting.
She has been here many years.
Absolutely. So hello to her this morning. You got the short straw to come in today. So
grateful that you allow us to come and talk about the fair.
Always. Yeah, it's been a tradition. So anything else you want to add today, Diane?
No, it sounds like it's going to be a great weekend, and I hope that people will come visit us in Spring Green Saturday from 9 until 5 and Sunday from 9 until 4.
Yeah, and just as you mentioned, maybe just go and browse and enjoy some great food. You could eat at all the different food vendors, you know, have a little snack here and there.
Yeah, so. And I just love to sit back and watch the people. I love people watching at the fair.
So you can do a lot of that. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Diane, good luck to you and all of the committee, and we hope it's a great weekend for you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Diane Barenbrook joining us, talking about the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair, celebrating, 56 or 57 years this year.